This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker show here on channelradio.co.uk in association with bizradio.co.uk on this Tuesday the 18th of May with me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jules Serkin. I want to say a huge thank you to Business Bunker radio show partner, and we're pleased to partner with leading law, employment law firm Lock Associates Group. They'll be bringing us regular news, information and help with employment law, health and well-being at work. You can find out more about the Lock Associates Group by going to their website, which is www.lockassociates.co.uk. That's Lock spelled L-O-C-H. Lockassociates.co.uk. A huge thank you for supporting the Business Bunker radio show. It's back. ZC Live, social media and digital event, and it's online. ZC Live was historically an in-person live event in Kent with over 400 businesses in attendance. But in October 2020, we hosted the event online for the first time, and it was a huge success. This opened the door for so many more business owners, employees and freelancers across the country to attend, and the feedback was amazing. So we've decided to host the event online once again on Friday the 18th of June. Learn how to accelerate your digital and social media marketing in your business and create more leads by mastering key strategies and tips over a whole day with some top speakers. They've got speakers from Twitter, Facebook and from the digital industry. You'll learn five proven digital marketing strategies that have stood the test of time, that will give you more time, more results and the confidence to get started even with no experience. You'll learn how to build your online presence and awareness, how to become a successful influencer within your field, how to turn your knowledge into a product, how to increase your leads via digital marketing and how to build your business brand and be noticed from anywhere in the world, giving you more opportunities. It's a free event, it's free to attend, and you can get your ticket by going to www.eventbrite.co.uk/virtualZC Live 2021. That's eventbrite.co.uk/virtualZC Live 2021. We'll put a link to the ticket and all the information on the Business Bunker website so that you can find out all about it. But it's a fantastic event, and there's normally hundreds and hundreds of people that go to it. I've been to every one, and I'm certainly going to this one. So I'll see you there. Right. I think we're going to hear from our next guest. What do you reckon?
I do, yeah.
Hold on, I'll even turn your mic on now.
Yes, I can't wait. Who might it be? Remind me.
We're going to be talking to Benita Matoska.
Yeah.
And Benita is a change maker, but she's also heavily into the sharing economy. She's an internationally renowned speaker. I'll tell you what, why don't we just hear from Benita?
I'd love to hear from her.
Yeah, let's just hear from Benita.
Not you.
Not me, no, Benita. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome onto the Business Bunker show for the very first time, Benita Matoska. Benita, good afternoon. Welcome to the show. It's lovely to see you. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, it's brilliant to be here, Paul. Good afternoon to you too.
Cool. Okay, let's kick off by telling our listener a little bit about Benita. Give us a little bit of background into you, where you're from, what you do, how you do it.
Right, let's see. Well, I'm originally a Yorkshire lass, born in Leeds, and I'm an international speaker. Right. I call myself a change maker. I'm the author of a book called Generation Share, and I'll talk more about that. I work with businesses to help businesses transform for the future. And what that means is I'm very much looking at how businesses need to be creating value for people and planet. And my role is really to take the businesses through a process and help them with that. Right. And I also am the founder of a nonprofit, or, you know, it's known also as a social enterprise called The People Who Share. Okay. And we are all about helping people to access shared resources to help planet and people.
Fantastic.
Well, just gives you an idea.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to explore both of those. I have to tell you that we're really lucky. My co-host Jules is normally with us, but she couldn't be with us today. And you're really lucky, because as soon as she hears the word I'm from Yorkshire, we get a whole lot of Timmy Taylor's clogs and whippets. And you don't want to hear that kind of nonsense, do you? So luckily we've avoided that. I want to explore both of the things that you've mentioned there. So in terms of your change making, I want to explore that a little bit more. From my point of view, this is my opinion, and I want to ask you yours on this. Still,
in society, we are really poor at adapting to change. And even though the last year, 18 months, has been the biggest change I think any of us have ever experienced, we've had to adapt to it because they've made it law. It's still difficult. But in a general course of things, adapting to change is quite difficult. And for me, I see that most in the argument about small retailers not being able to cope with the internet and stuff like that, as if there's some goddamn right that things must always stay the same. So I want your views on change and how you help people cope and facilitate change.
Well, the first thing to say is that you're absolutely right, Paul. I mean, change is really difficult. It's difficult for everybody. Mm. But the reality is that unless we change, we're simply not going to survive for the future. And I think what the last year has demonstrated with COVID is that people can change, you know, in ways that they never previously imagined. Yeah. And we've seen all kinds of businesses who've just had to adapt. Yeah. They've had to, people are working remotely, they're having to use digital platforms, they're having to run their businesses digitally. Yeah. And they have found ways to do that. In, for example, the charity sector, we've seen all kinds of charities who, you know, really were, you know, living in the kind of dark ages, have really had to move very, very quickly. Yeah. And in some cases, decisions and ideas and you know, that businesses have been working on for a long, long time have suddenly just had to happen. Yeah. There's been a sort of, it's propelled people to action. And I think that's really important. So change is difficult. We might not think we're good at change, but we are actually, we've proven and we've seen that we're better at change than we think we are. Yeah. The process and the way that I work with businesses is I take a look at what they're already doing. So I've got an organisation in the social housing sector that I'm working with at the moment, and I will take a look at what are they already doing that is bringing something valuable to people and to the planet.
Right.
And, you know, the reality is now that we live in a world, we've got huge challenges, we've got climate change, we've got poverty, inequality, we've been in living through a pandemic, where it's no longer the case that we can only focus on commercial value. And the businesses that only focus on commercial value will simply not survive in the future.
Sure.
And it is really interesting to see how that's played out during COVID. And we've seen some really interesting partnerships, because collaboration is also going to be everything. So how I work with businesses is I take them through a 6-stage process.
Right.
And this is based on years of research. I have interviewed hundreds and hundreds of change makers and change maker social innovator businesses from around the world for my book Generation Share. And I've collected an extraordinary number of case studies that are in the book, looking at these kinds of businesses and how they've adapted and how they've changed and what they have been doing in order to create this change. And so, you know, my learnings tell me that, you know, all of these businesses, to be change makers, there are 6 key characteristics. And so I take businesses through this 6-stage process, but we always start with, what is it that they're already doing that is bringing value? So I meet people where they are because change is difficult.
Yeah.
So this is not some big, scary, radical overhaul.
Sorry to interrupt.
It's about coming in and handholding.
Sorry to interrupt, but I think that's massively important, because I think one of the things that people fear about change is that they're going to have to throw the baby out with the bathwater. And what you've just identified is you don't. Yeah. If something's working, keep doing it.
If it's not broken, why fix it? I mean, that really, you know, I'm not here to reinvent the wheel. That's not what this is about. And actually, the kind of heartland of my work in the so-called sharing economy is all about that. It's all about making things work better. You know, it's about, in the sharing economy, we talk about this idea that you've got all these kind of surplus, idle resources, yet at the same time, you've got all these problems, people living in poverty and, you know, and not having enough food, but we've got a mountain of food waste. That makes no sense. How can we connect those things? And so equally, the way that I work is to look at what a business is already doing that is working, but very much with a kind of eye on the future, because I think one of the things that's very interesting about COVID is it's exposed a lot of fault lines in our economy. So things that were already not working and businesses that were already having struggles in different areas, that's exposed that. Yeah. So for example, you know, the high street, we know the high street has been in decline for a very, very long time.
Yeah.
And this complete reimagination of the high street is absolutely underway. And what we have seen, of course, is a massive kind of upsurge in online business because people have had no option. Yeah. That's what they've had to do during this time, particularly when, you know, non-essential shops have been closed and so on. And that's the option.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think what we're looking at here is how can we, it's about best of, you know, how can we take the things that work that we are doing, we can take a look at what's not working, and actually we can create a really strong business plan that gets us to where we need to be, but is sustainable. It's got to be sustainable.
Absolutely. It's absolutely right. And it's going to be fascinating as we unfold here, how many businesses try to go backwards. Yeah. How many businesses being forced to move forwards, you know, and do click and collect, home deliveries, online platforms, how many realize that it's a benefit and will keep doing it? And how many people go, oh, thank goodness that's over. I can go back to opening on a Wednesday afternoon now. That will be instructive in terms of what happens. You're absolutely right. But what fascinates me about the process of change is how adaptable and resourceful most people are, and why we can't do it unless we're forced to. I just find that really odd.
Well, you know, Paul, the old adage, necessity is the mother of invention.
Absolutely.
And that's absolutely true. The fact is, when your back's up against the wall, you're just going to use every bit of resource that you have and every bit of wherewithal to figure out how to get out of that situation.
Yeah.
And I think that's when we see some of the most extraordinary creativity. It's also, and I think this is the real key for me, it's when we start to realise we cannot do this alone. So these collaborative skills, this whole kind of notion of, I call it having a collaborative advantage, that's what businesses are going to need in the future, because it's about who can you partner with, who can I work with to deliver whatever it is that I need to deliver. We cannot do this alone, and I think that has become patently clear during this pandemic. But it's something that in my line of work I've been talking about for years, that we need to figure out how we can work with other people. And rather than thinking about this kind of winner takes all, you know, competitive advantage, we need to consider collaborative advantage. And who is it that we can partner with that is providing a complementary service to what we're doing? And that needs to be mutually beneficial, because that's the only way these partnerships really work, if there's real mutual benefit that happens as a result of that partnership.
Absolutely. It's something that on the radio show we've talked about a lot over the last few years, is a move towards more collaborative or more communitarian ways of doing things. I don't know if you know, I own a community work hub in Canterbury, and one of the things we found very early on is a number of people that work there that ostensibly worked in competition with each other actually didn't. They actually worked off each other. You know, it started off with, oh, anyone know how to do so-and-so? And then went, no, you don't want to do it like that. You want to do it like this. Let me show you. And all of a sudden, that collaboration grew, and people suddenly started to realize that even though two or more people were in a similar business, they had different skill sets that they could, by bringing them together, they could enhance and grow their businesses in a collaborative way. So I totally get what you're saying. I see that move on a daily basis, on a move away from competitiveness and into collaboration. One of the things I would say as well, and this is just me spouting about this, large corporations...
Spout away, Paul. It's your show. You can spout as much as you like.
Large corporations, big corporates, need to get a grip of this, because my experience has been that their customer service has been appalling. You know, there's an arrogance about big businesses that says, look, you know, we've got a million customers, you're just one, who cares? They've got to be more collaborative. They've got to disseminate down to a lower level. Cool. Okay.
Absolutely, because, you know, this whole notion of you know, this peer-to-peer economy, we heard a lot about that. We've got a lot of these different platforms that are popping up. Yeah. And the fact is that, you know, that disintermediates the big corporates, and it basically says that, you know, you or I can set up a business, we can set up our own manufacturing line, we could have 3D printers, you know, we can do our distribution, we're basically working peer-to-peer.
Yeah.
And that, you know, that is a game changer. And now that we can be the producers and suppliers of goods and services, it means that, you know, big businesses have to, you know, take note, because people now expect to be part of the solution. You know, people now expect that they will not only be listened to, this is not just about customer service in terms of, you know, this kind of top-down approach, but it's also like, I want to participate. I want to be an active participant in this, and I can make a contribution. Right. to your business. So it is about community. It's about building that community. And, you know, a lot of big businesses, as you say, if they don't get on board with that, they just will not survive to see the tail. And we've seen a lot of these dinosaurs just they're dying because they cannot move in that way.
Absolutely.
And we'll see more of that. We'll see more casualties.
Absolutely. It's an interesting statistic that of the FTSE 100, you know, the top 100 companies in the year that I was born, 1955, which is just over 65 years ago, there are only three companies still surviving from that list. And they were the 100 biggest companies in Western Europe at the time, and now only three of them exist, and they don't exist in the same way they did then. So you're absolutely right. Vanita, what I'd like to do now is move on and talk a little bit about your community interest company, your CIC, the people who share. Give us an overview of, one, what the inspiration was to start that, and obviously exactly what it is and what it does.
Yeah, good question. So, well, the inspiration to start that was I worked in broadcasting, in communications and television for about 20 years.
Right, okay.
And then I moved into the charity sector because I wanted to be giving back. I wanted to do something that was for people and planet. I was really frustrated in my, you know, in my sort of TV bubble that I was in, and I wanted to do something that was about giving back. And I went to work for Enterprise UK. I was their head of global entrepreneurship.
Right.
And in that role, my friends used to joke my title sounded like head of the world. and because of my title, I used to get invited to all sorts of extraordinary events and to present awards. And I found myself backstage with Desmond Tutu. I mean, what do you say to such a man?
Absolutely.
Who's dismantled apartheid and, you know, just incredible the contribution that he's made to the world. And really following that event, I made this decision that I wanted to do something that was about creating, you know, not only a social enterprise or something that would be giving back to community, but a movement. And the word that would not leave me was the word sharing. And one morning I woke up and the first thought that came into my head was, what's wrong with the world is there's a shortage of sharing. Mm-hmm. And then I then went on to think, well, we can fix that, because each of us, we might have finite, limited resources, but we each have an unlimited capacity to share. And if we can unleash that, there's no end to what we can achieve. So the People Who Share was born. And really the idea at the time was this campaign to inspire people to share in their communities, to share resources, human and physical resources. And as this has developed, you know, a lot of the work that we do is really around focusing on, we've got all of this waste that happens, and waste is just resource in the wrong place. So, you know, just to give you some idea, a third of our food is wasted globally, third of our food. Yet at the same time, you know, we've got people living in food poverty, people who cannot afford to put food on the table. And so the idea is that what we need to do is divert that food, that perfectly good food that gets, you know, goes to landfill, to people living in food poverty. And that's really the kind of work that the People Who Share does. So, you know, we've done big food shares. We did one event where we inspired 5.3 million people around the world to be sharing food in a single day. We do work with organizations that are supporting refugees, for example. We do work with low-income communities. But it's also very much also about tackling isolation and saying, you know, this is not about doing this alone. It's about connecting people in communities, because we know that we are much happier and healthier when we share. You know, we know that, I mean, there are scientific studies that the more you share, the happier you become. Yeah. And it also affects, for example, there was one study that was looking at isolation, and it found that, you know, the level of the numbers of people, at A&E was reducing, because people were introduced to these sharing projects, they were connected to other people in their community, and it was having an actual direct effect on physical pain.
Yeah.
Extraordinary, extraordinary. So, you know, in with the people who share, we have this belief that, you know, where there is poverty, we can have prosperity. Where there is loneliness, we can have community. And that's really, you know, where there is waste, we can have efficiency and resource, you know, resources used and shared. And, you know, I define the sharing economy as a system to live by. Yeah. You know, it's where we care for people and planet and we share available resources in any way that we can.
Absolutely.
And the biggest thing that we're known for at the People Who Share is something that began as National Sharing Day in the UK. And it grew into Global Sharing Day, it went viral. And now it's Global Sharing Week. And Global Sharing Week this year will start on the 21st of June. And it runs from the 21st to the 27th of June. And that is a week when we shine a spotlight on, you know, moving away from what's wrong with the world to what's right with it. And we shine a spotlight on people sharing in their communities and, you know, a direct challenge to businesses. What can you share? Absolutely. What resources do you have? How can you work more collaboratively with others? How can you make a better contribution to people and planet? What is it that you're doing to actually help support a sustainable economy?
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's really, you know,
nothing big then.
Nothing big, no.
No, just a
small little ambition.
Just a little local, just a little local contretemps. Yeah, no, absolutely.
Exactly.
And you know, all the things you said there are absolutely correct. And just one of the things that glaringly stands out about this need for human interaction is we've spent the last year without any. And the damage that has done to the mental health of the nation is immense. And we're going to see the fallout of that over a number of years coming on. And I think that's a lesson that we need to learn, and we need to learn quickly. And, you know, move our politics away from trying to fight some of this. People live in local communities. People like to interact with people around them. And whilst we'll gladly interact with people in Yorkshire or Wales or France or wherever they are, we spend most of our time within a 10-mile radius of where we live. And therefore, we need to interact with people that are in our community. We can spread that out, you know, because then communities interact with other communities. But the starting point for me is always local and local community.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, we've seen, so, you know, previously Global Sharing Week, for example, has all been about people bringing together in their local communities. We've seen, you know, people have, you know, big lunches and street shares.
Yeah.
You know, we've seen people do skill shares, food sharing, all kinds of activities that happen, you know, yeah. Silent disco beach cleans. I don't know if you've ever been on one of those,
I haven't come across that concept.
You dance on the beach. You can only, you've got the music in your headphones while you're cleaning the beach.
Wow.
And, you know, again, that is sharing with the planet, is, you know, getting rid of some of the plastic and the litter that causes all kinds of problems environmentally. But whilst at the same time, you're having fun doing it and coming together in a community to do that.
I think that's absolutely important. You know, one of the problems I think we get, you know, some people that are passionate about these things kind of berate you with it. You know, you must do this, you must do that, you must do this, you know. And we all go, yeah, I know. But if you're doing something fun, you don't recognise the other bit of it, do you? It's just fun. You're doing it because
exactly. Exactly.
You know, you're having some fun and doing some good without being told that you must do good. And I like that approach to it. I think, you know, just engaging people and enjoying doing things that actually have a benefit to everybody is crucial.
Absolutely. I mean, we ran an event for Global Sharing Week, June 2019, and it was called The Big Share, and we were on Brighton Seafront, and we had about 700 people sharing all kinds of things. And we even had a company, a local social enterprise, who were doing beer for hugs. Now, obviously, in a COVID context, that doesn't really work, although I hope we're going to be quite soon back to hugging.
Yeah.
But I guess the point is, you know, it was very much about bringing people together, and it was a really joyful occasion. You know, we had, you know, there was music and there was dancing and there was all kinds of, because I think the fun part of this is so important. And a big part of the work that I do is focusing on the positive. And that is really key in all of this change making, Paul, because, you know, I believe that to change the world, We need to change the narrative. We need to start telling better, positive, different stories. And that's why I wrote my book, Generation Share, because Generation Share is all about this whole idea that by showcasing these amazing, inspiring stories of change makers, they demonstrate what is possible, that change is possible, and they're already doing it. So these are real live examples, and people get inspired by that, and they realize there is no ceiling, that it is possible, no matter where you come from in the world, no matter what your economic status may be, it's possible, because I've got change makers across the board who've done extraordinary things from incredibly humble beginnings.
Absolutely. Benita, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you this afternoon. Thank you so much for joining us. Benita Matoska, change maker and founder of The People Who Share. Brilliant to talk to you. Give us a shout out for one, your website, and then tell us about your book and where we can get your book.
So for me and for public speaking engagements and consultancy around change making, it's benitamatoska.com. For The People Who Share is thepeoplewhoshare.com. And we also have globalsharingweek.org. My book, Generation Share, is available anywhere online, and it's also via Policy Press. And it was voted by Forbes as the top isolation read for a positive future. And I'm really thrilled we got that, because it really is all about having a positive future.
Fantastic. Benita, it's been a massive pleasure talking to you. You're so passionate. You're so full of ideas. You're so driving change. And we really respect that. Thank you so much for joining us on The Bunker Show. We look forward to talking to you again in the future. Have a great afternoon.
Thanks, Paul. And thanks so much for sharing.
Pleasure.
Become part of our community to build your social media habits with workouts. Increase your brand's presence and engagement. Go to wedosocialmedia.co.uk to register for 2 free social media workouts every Wednesday, 10:30 a.m. Facebook and 11:30 a.m. LinkedIn.
Flexible training solutions for the glass, glazing and wider construction industries. fitfortrade.co.uk for occupational compliance and peace of mind.
Lauch Associates Group can help you with your employment law, HR, health and well-being and mediation needs. People are our business. It's what we do every day. Find us online at lauchassociates.co.uk.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
You're listening to Channel Radio.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
That was the absolutely fantastic Benita Matoska.
Very inspiring. I've gone
all croaky. I don't know why.
I know, you little frog. You need honey, of course, Kentish honey.
Yeah.
She's very inspiring, and I love the idea of the disco beach litter thingy-bobbies.
Yeah. Collecting. It's cool, isn't it?
I think you could do that. Can I just point out that people in Yorkshire do not wear clogs? I think you're getting it mixed up.
No,
really?
Used to wear clogs. Google it.
They got them from Amsterdam.
No, clogs were a thing all over Europe before people could afford shoes. You Google clogs in Yorkshire.
See, the trouble with you is you're always right.
Yeah, when you tear it, you whip it out. A walk in your clogs.
But you were right on Timmy Taylor's.
Yeah, exactly.
Stamford Pork Pies, you didn't mention them, you know.
Yeah, no.
Skipton.
Yeah, but you were lucky. Oh, she was lucky. Benita was lucky. Yeah, she didn't have to suffer that.
I'll phone her up and have a little conversation.
Yeah.
Did you know, we're talking about jobs earlier, but salad makers Bakkavor are creating 150 new jobs at their Tilmanstone site. Where's Tilmanstone?
Dover.
Lovely. They're also permanent roles across the day, evening and night shifts, and they're seen as a boost for the local economy at a time when the fallout from COVID has resulted in the highest level of UK unemployment for 5 years. So contact Tilmanstone if you're looking for a job. There you go. They've got different shifts.
Absolutely. Right, I want to tell you about this. Europe's first story brand workshop facilitators can help grow your business. Kent-based marketers Story 22 are delighted to have become Europe's first certified story brand facilitators and are offering workshops to help businesses prosper. If your customers just don't seem to understand what you do, your marketing feels like a waste of money, your sales team are confused, or you cannot get buy-in from your colleagues, Story 22 can help you implement a simple 7-step framework to clarify your message. Based in Kent, Story 22 has been working with businesses across the UK, Europe, the Middle East, the USA and Canada to create clearer brand communication and increase business growth. Last month, Julie was certified by the leading US marketing giant Story Brand as the first facilitator in Europe to offer English-speaking workshops and unite teams around one common message. So if you want to find out more about this, you can go to their website where they have some information about it. It's story22.co.uk/storybrand-workshops. Let me give you that website again. It's story22.co. She's looking at me just because I said 22.
Yeah,
story22.co.uk/storybrandworkshops. Don't start the 22 thing
again.
Because
you know what's going to come out.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, yeah.
Pink picture of you.
Yeah, yeah.
You might think, listener, that Kent is a far cry from the cutting edge of future technology, but you'd be very wrong. As countries across the world compete to discover the next revolutionary idea, the Kent County is brimming with smart thinkers trying to change the way we live for the better. From aiding the discovery of life-saving drugs in Sandwich to spearheading the future of 6G in Canterbury, Kent's tech innovators are poised to help define what our world will be like for generations to come. 5G, as you know, has only just arrived in parts of Kent, and it's offering customers quicker internet speeds than wherever possible on the existing 4G. But tech guys are forever looking to the future, and one group of Kent scientists already have their sights set on 5G's successor, which could be capable of speeds up to 1 terabyte or 1,000 gigabytes per second. And Professor Steve Gayo, who's head of communications research group at the Uni of Kent, has been leading research into how we could feasibly install a 6G network as early as 2030. So let's get that on Tankerton Seafront, please.
Absolutely. We've had a little flurry of tweets. They're not very expressive, but in response to your, would you like a shout-out?
Well, Kent Sectional Buildings, Paul Andrews, as you know, they do the finest bespoke garden buildings, which everybody wants at the moment because we're all working from home.
Absolutely. And talking about buildings, the Good Shed have been on as well.
Do you know, I sent a little tweet picture. I went there the other day. I go there a lot. And Shane, the fishmonger, amazing, yeah. Amazing. And people were sitting outside because we couldn't go inside to eat, and they were sitting in the pouring rain with umbrellas, you know, cloth umbrellas.
Yeah, yeah.
But they all looked really happy. It was just so lovely.
I love the Good Shed. I think it's a fabulous place.
Do you like eating outside in the rain, though? I mean, we're so brave.
I would tolerate it just so that I could have a meal there, because I haven't had a meal there for over a year, obviously.
Raphael,
yeah,
the chef, he's lovely. Well, meet me, and we'll have I'll eat.
But for those that don't know, the Good Shed is by Canterbury West Station in Canterbury, and it's an indoor market, except when it's not. And also a fantastic mezzanine restaurant.
It's actually quite safe because all the doors are open.
Yeah, yeah. It's called the Good Shed because it was a train shed.
Yeah, you can find them on thegoodshed.co.uk. And as Paul Andrews has said so rightly, the food is exquisite. Mm. And Raffaello is there and the fish is amazing. And all the little stall holders are so friendly and know their stuff.
Cool. Just a quick update on the South East Construction Expo.
Oh, yeah, what's happening?
The Expo will be live at the South of England Event Centre on the 21st of October. That's at Ardingly. Because we have the technology, we're also going to be live streaming in the event. So it's a hybrid event. If you're exhibiting, you'll, in addition to your stand, get an online presence in a virtual booth, totally free. So loads more construction businesses can see your products and services. If you're a visitor, you'll have fantastic networking opportunities, both live at the expo and by visiting our virtual networking room. This is where you can connect to both virtual and live attendees. The speaker sessions will be streamed live. If you're attending or virtually attending and miss any of the speakers, live recordings will be available after the event. The Southeast Construction Expo is where you can find out about major projects and investment opportunities, hear from industry-focused speakers sharing high-value content. There's a free Meet the Buyer with top UK construction companies. There's live demos of great new innovative products, how to profit from the many new ways of modern construction, and to meet thousands of construction businesses for some great networking. To find out all about it, book your stand or your ticket to attend if you go to constructionexpouk.co.uk. That's constructionexpouk.co.uk.
And representatives from some of the biggest planned projects for the county, among them the multi-million pound London Resort and the Lower Thames Crossing, are set to take part in a free webinar later this month. It will be held by Southeast Local Enterprise Partnership, and the webinar has invited figures from the schemes along with representatives from the Ebbsfleet Garden City to provide updates on what are expected to be some of the biggest job-creating schemes. This webinar is called Major Projects, Major Growth, Major Opportunity.
Major Tom.
Will take place at 10 a.m. on Wednesday the 26th of May. All these things on my birthday.
On your birthday. Ground control to Major Tom.
Yes, yeah. I know what you were doing. Yes.
Yeah.
He was lovely, Major Tom, as well. The other one, yeah. The walker.
Yeah.
But I will be frolicking at the lovely Reeds in Faversham, and I've actually booked myself a room for me and the new husband.
Just you?
No, I thought I'd take the new husband just so he can drive. And my daughter's coming down from London, and she's got work the next day. She said, why do you have a birthday on a Wednesday? So I've booked. I've been a lovely mum. She was going to go back on the train at like 10 at night or 11 to Chelsea, where she lives. So I've booked Adam's Cars 5. You'll find him on the Twitter, at Adam's Cars 5. And I said how much to take her from Faversham to put her house in Chelsea, or a little flat. And he's done me a really good deal. So just always think outside the box to help him while he can't take people to the airports.
Absolutely.
So he's going to take her home. Isn't
oh,
that
lovely.
Sweet?
Yeah.
I didn't want to think of her on the train staggering about, you know, after a few champagnes in her stilettos. She'd get the stilettos stuck in one of those grates. They're always at the station.
You reckon?
Don't you have that trouble?
I have that trouble all the time. I'm always breaking the heels off my stilettos.
When you're in your tutu.
Yeah. Amanda, my lovely Amanda, has just sent me a video of our patio. No, she's at home.
Oh, is she sweeping
of our patio under a layer of hail.
Oh, is it hailing now?
It is hailing now, yeah.
That's so odd. Climate change, honestly. It's been a very chilly May. I don't think I've ever had a log burner going in May for quite so long. Mm. And the new husband went for his paddleboard yesterday and he was covered in hail, and it was thunder and lightning as well.
Oh, blimey. Yeah. Don't want to do that. You're going to like this.
Will I?
Not a lot.
Is it Timmy Taylor's?
No, it's about a hospital.
Oh.
Buzz Streets.
Yeah.
And Chelsea and Westminster NHS Foundation Trust are launching a unique indoor wayfinder for hospitals to help patients and their families navigate their way around more easily.
Oh, you need that. I was a bit lost.
I knew you'd like
it.
Reduce staff time spent giving directions, help ensure patients arrive on time for appointments, reduce stress and minimise traffic in the corridors. Research has shown that 87% of patients ask for directions when they go to a hospital or other public health facility, and 30% of first-time visitors get lost.
Yeah, K&C is huge now. Yeah. There's all corridors.
Exactly.
Zones.
The new app is part of the CW Innovation Programme, a joint initiative between Chelsea and Westminster Hospital and its charity CW Plus, to test and scale innovations and digital systems that improve patient care and experience. The app uses a system of beacons, hot Wi-Fi signals and the Earth's magnetic field to pinpoint the person's location, giving them real-time directions, both spoken and visual, to allow them to navigate through the hospital, both horizontally and vertically.
Horizontally?
Yeah. So I guess if I'm going in on a stretcher, is that?
Oh, okay. Yeah, but then presumably you've got someone pushing you that knows.
Well, maybe they don't.
Yeah, well,
sure. No. Hang a left here.
If ever you need me to push you on a stretcher, Paul Andrews,
I'm sure you
will. Could have a little indicator on there, couldn't you? Put your little hand out
exactly.
And go left or right. Traffic lights, perhaps. Did you know there's a new Art Deco-inspired bar and lounge area which is opening, has opened already? It's decadent, you know, afternoon tea.
I like a bit of Art Deco myself.
I do. I'm quite I love the old...
Oh, no, I've just seen what you did. You put a pink tutu out again.
You know better than to say tutu when you're live on air. Yeah. I mean, it's just too much temptation. Anyway, this is a decadent afternoon tea to late night cocktails. We all like one of those. And it's the opulently appointed Reign, R-E-I-G-N. Do you see what they did there? It's like the Queen, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's in Albion Street in Broadstairs, and it's been created by award-winning hospitality interior designers Lifeform Design. They're based in Margate. They were commissioned, not near the A&E, I hope. They were commissioned by owners Katie and Paul King, who wanted to reflect the history of the 1920s. They've used an eye-catching palette of colours, finishes, mood lighting and brass and marble details to stunning effect. And so that's great. I might go and visit there and take some pictures. But I do like a bit of Art Deco, you're right. And especially a cocktail. Just everything was stylish.
It was, yeah, it was.
I'm thinking it's Great Gatsby.
Yeah. When I grew up in London, in West London, we used to drive out to the country to Ruislip, which is now. But along, I can't remember.
In your wagon.
I think it was a Great West Road at Norfolk.
Yeah.
Was a Hoover factory. Yeah. You know, when they made Hoovers.
Yeah. I know what Hoover is.
Yeah. But the facade of the building was Art Deco.
Oh, I love it.
Absolutely wonderful building.
Is it still there?
I don't know. It's certainly not a Hoover factory anymore. I got a feeling it might be a hotel now.
They should keep that facade, shouldn't they?
Yeah,
if they do something. I love it. My neighbour had, she was elderly, and she had a beautiful cabinet, Art Deco cabinet. Well, you know how the shape is, and it's like a fan, isn't it? And I used to just go in and gaze at her cabinet all the time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, beautiful. And all the... It's just classy, the glasses, everything.
Yep.
A bygone era.
Jill Serkin, do you know what happens in Digital Leaders Week?
Not really.
I'm going to tell you. Are you a leader in the UK's digital marketplace for ideas, initiatives and services? Is your organisation or place... If the answer is yes, then there's your chance to demonstrate that. The 2021 Digital Leaders Week is now opening its doors for partners and speakers. As we unlock the UK's economy, this is the biggest gathering of people focused on three key questions our organisations face during this accelerated period of digital transformation. The questions are, what works, how does it work, and where can we get advice? If you want to get involved in this event, those who are driving forward digital transformation in the UK will be sharing the very best practice, showcasing their services and offering solutions that are practical and real. The Digital Leaders Week is taking place from the 14th to the 18th of June, and you can find out all about it by going to DigiLeaders, D-I-G-I, digileaders.com/week and find out all about Digital Leaders Week, and if you are so inclined, to participate.
And there are details of a major new commercial park in Maidstone on part of the site previously earmarked for the controversial Kent International Gateway development. And they've been unveiled. It's Clearbell Property Partners, and they've announced the launch of LOC8, which is located off Junction 8 off the M20. Sound like a travel
person. I see what they did
person.
There.
Yeah. It bought the site last year for $5 million, which seems quite cheap. Actually, doesn't it? I suppose for the size.
Yeah.
Depends what they're going to do on it, doesn't it?
Mm.
Commercial park. Standing for Logistics, Office and Commerce at Junction 8. LOC 8 intends to be up and running by September 2022, and it was given planning approval by Maidstone Borough Council in March. It's expected to create hundreds of jobs, which is fabulous, when they complete it, and it vows to use the latest technology and to be as sustainable as possible. So we will keep our eyes and ears open on that. So that's LOC8, the Kent International Gateway.
Yeah, it's actually located at Hollingbourne. It's just along the road from the Great Danes.
Yeah, the Great Danes Hotel.
Yeah.
Okay.
If you come away from the Great Danes, there's a big roundabout there, and then it's
How
the field.
How many times has that hotel changed its name?
Oh, yeah, but everybody just calls it the Great Danes. Yeah. Whatever they try and call it, we ain't having that.
No.
We all know what it is.
I love a Great Dane.
Yeah.
They wear clogs.
Yeah.
Live Magic is back.
No,
they
don't.
With the famous Etienne Pradier.
I love Etienne.
Nicolas Clément. And Josh King said in
the other two are French as well, are they?
It's on the 27th of June. There are live shows at 4 and 7 p.m. at the local village hall in Wye. And you can get your tickets by going to 3ws.magic-product.co.uk/product-live-event. And it's also for adults and children alike. So make sure you get the right tickets, they say.
Right.
And there's an online retail giant, Amazon, which you may have heard of during the pandemic, and they've confirmed it's to create more than 1,300 jobs at a huge new fulfillment centre in Dartford. It's a £205 million warehouse. It'll be based in Littlebrook Power Station, which is now decommissioned, and it's next to a tunnel approach on the River Thames. Amazon has previously said it's due to open in August. When completed, the four-storey mega box will encompass 2.3 million square feet, equivalent to roughly, get this, 30 football pitches. That's wow. Huge. The facility will be powered by what is said to be the largest solar photovoltaic scheme of any new development in the UK, with 3.5 megawatt capacity. So well done. We really welcome the jobs there. But also don't forget to shop local.
Yeah. Amazon now employ 50,000 people in the UK.
Incredible. Mm. Wait till the old drones start delivering.
I know, yeah.
Because they can see in your garden and everything. I mean, you could be lying there nude, couldn't you? And the drone goes by and can see you. I'm just saying. You could be in your tutu on your lounger.
There are some things that worry you and some things that don't, really. Yeah, it just depends whether you have a habit of laying around naked in your garden, really, isn't it?
No, you could be doing anything.
Yeah. And there's a charity golf day on Friday the 2nd of July, 10:30 a.m. to 7 p.m. Swing into action and join us for 18 holes of fundraising, all in aid of the Strode Park Foundation. This has been booked at the Cave Hotel and Golf Resort in Boughton near Canterbury. You can make up a team of four for just £60 a head. If you're a Boughton Golf Club member, you only pay £34.50. You can let us know your team name if you've already made your foursome, but if you're an individual, let us know and we can match you up with other people into a team. Your entry fee includes tea, coffee, bacon rolls on arrival, 18 holes of golf, a two-course dinner and a prize presentation. That's not bad, is it? It's 10:30 registration with tea, coffee and bacon roll. 11:15 is tee off time, followed by scores in, prize presentation and two-course meal. There's a buggy hire available at £25 each for the 18 holes. Tickets are non-refundable unless the event is cancelled. And that's the Strode Park. You can go to their website to find out about the charity golf day. It's strodepark.org.uk/shop-event-charity-golf-day. So strodepark.org.uk/shop-event-charity-golf-day.
There's a brand new water park which will be making a splash at a popular lakeside attraction. Inflatables and obstacles and slides will be the latest addition to St Andrew's Lakes, which is in Halling, near Rochester.
Halling.
Where I come from, Halling.
Uh-oh, the Yorkshire mob have been on.
Oh, are they?
Yeah, yeah.
But they'd say Halling, wouldn't they? Yeah. Wouldn't say Halling.
No, I'll tell you about it in a minute.
For some family fun, it's near Rochester and it's opening next month. It'll be open on May the 29th, so it's a few days after my birthday, bookings must be made in advance, and numbers will be limited to 30 people in each session to reduce congestion and crowding on the inflatables. You can take young Lucy there, can't you?
Absolutely.
It'll be available for youngsters aged 6 and above with a minimum height restriction of 120 centimetres. What's that in inches? I've no idea.
Yeah.
The park can also be booked for private parties. It'll be manned by full-time lifeguards. We'll offer 50-minute sessions on the variety of different styles of floating bouncy castles.
Fantastic. I've just been followed by Northlight. We are Northlight on the Twitter, based in the heart of Yorkshire.
Hey up.
Yeah, we're a creative agency that has been meticulously creating brands and designs for over 30 years, including clogs.
No,
I've added that bit.
I believed you. Bob Beattie.
I saw that, yeah. Thank you, Bob.
Yeah, I'll just tell you. So yeah. He's at Bob with another B, BT, get what he did there, B-O-B-B-T, 2417, says about your tutu picture.
Yeah.
Royal Ballet has got a bit desperate since Margot and Darcy.
Yeah, went. Yeah. I can do a plié in clogs, me.
Yeah. Might rip the back of it, though.
Awards celebrate hard work, success and a great PR for your organisation. If you're a winning business and you're based in either the Maidstone or the Ashford area, you can enter the Maidstone or Ashford Business Awards 2021. There's 12 categories in each area. There are two areas, so as I say, Maidstone, which is Maidstone and Mid-Kent, or Ashford, which is Ashford and South Kent. There is a combined awards ceremony tentatively planned for the Great Danes in November 2021. But you can enter now and you can find out all about the awards event and all the criteria and put in your entry by going to www.businessawardskent.co.uk. We mentioned this last week as well, and I'm fascinated by this, and I want one.
What is it?
Communities wanting to transform their iconic red phone boxes.
Oh, yeah.
Are being urged to take up the opportunity after BT confirmed 375 phone boxes are still up for grabs across the southeast region. Since 2008, 895 phone boxes across southeast have been taken on by communities for just £1 each through BT's Adopt a Kiosk programme. And the redundant boxes have been transformed into everything from defibrillator units to libraries. There remain dozens of boxes in Kent for adoption. 21 in Canterbury, 13 in Dover, 11 in Gravesham and 9 in Sevenoaks. Boxes are also still available in Ashford 9, Medway 4, Folkestonehithe 8, Thanet 5, Tunbridge Wells 5, Maidstone 6, Tunbridge 2, Swale 6 and Dartford 1. John Pollock, the BT Enterprise Unit Director for the South of England, said, with most people now using mobile phones, it's led to a huge drop in the number of calls made for payphones. I want one.
I want one as well. We were discussing, weren't we, what we do with them and things. I mean, even a little bar would be nice, or a library, as you know, in the garden. Yeah. What did you have for breakfast this morning? Did you have your IFF kitchen?
I had chicken thigh and Swede and
Swede. Oh,
yeah,
how delicious.
And spinach.
Was the Swede mashed or in chunks?
It was mashed Swede.
Really delicious.
Yeah, yeah. What time did I have that? Yeah. About 9 o'clock.
Ridiculous. Why don't you save it for brunch and have it about 11:30?
Because I'm here.
11:30.
I'm here.
I'm not on air till 1.
I know, but I haven't got anywhere to
Can't
eat
you put it
up
in a little
here.
Handbag or something?
Well, you'd eat it cold, but I won't.
Yeah.
I want
bring
it
a frying pan with you.
I want it heated up.
You could bring a little camp stove.
Yeah. I'm not going there. Yeah.
And Bob Beattie has chipped in again about your tutu. Yeah. That's causing quite a stir. He says, I hear they're auditioning for Dirty Dancing as well. We have tickets for the Moulin Rouge in December. Please tell me he's not in it.
Oh, I am. Me and the Moulin Rouge, don't you worry. Yeah.
I've read all mine. So
okay, I've got loads
you can
still.
Carry on. I can just eat biscuits. I can see there's some here.
Yeah, no, we're nearly there. An ultra fast broadband provider, which has focused on reaching rural areas, is expanding its reach by a further 23,000 homes and businesses across Kent. Truly, which is headquartered in Kings Hill, Westmorland, will go live in 5 more areas. The firm, which has targeted areas outside the reach of some of the traditional big fast link providers, delivers a full fibre connection, offering speeds of, wait for it, up to 900 megabits.
Wow.
With this expansion, the Truly network is now available to more than 70,000 premises in Kent. Good, eh?
Yeah, that is good.
I still can't get it, mind.
Well, I find when I'm driving even, I lose my DAB, do you? It's really annoying. You're just listening to something and then you lose your DAB. Is that Wi-Fi, DAB?
No. DAB is the radio, and it's particularly bad in Kent because of the North Downs.
You get little dips.
Yeah, the signal's really bad. It's why FM was supposed to switch off like 9 years ago, only they found that DAB doesn't work in large parts of the country, or it's not as reliable as FM was, so they haven't switched it off.
Yep.
A strawberry born and bred in the county is set to take centre stage at a state-of-the-art glasshouse created by Sir James Dyson. He of Dyson Hoover fame.
Yeah.
The man behind the vacuum cleaner range, which bears his name, has been developing his Dyson farming enterprise in Lincolnshire, which aims to develop efficient and sustainable farming practices. He's added a 15-acre glasshouse, which has just welcomed its first strawberry harvest, the Morling Centenary, which has bred at the East Morling Research Centre in Kent. It is the only variety grown at the site. Dyson Farming expects to grow 750 tonnes of the strawberries each and every year, delivered to Marks & Spencer's, Waitrose and Tesco.
Yeah, we're just coming into the strawberry season. I got some big fat ones from the Good Shed.
Fantastic. That's it for another week. I want to say a huge thank you to our two guests, the lovely Jenny Bailey, Tales from Mother Earth, Benita Matoska from The People Who Share, to my absolutely stonkingly gorgeous co-host, Jill Serkin.
Thank you.
And me. We'll be back for another show next week. Stay safe, everybody. We'll see you all soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye for now.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
This is Channel 2.